Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. Got Evan here in the world headquarters, always lightly screening your calls at 844-967-2789. A Domless Thursday, but have no fear. We got a fine co-devil. She is Kristen Bry from Asgos, Wisconsin. And if you've been missing her, if you haven't heard the new Asgos, Wisconsin, now 3 hours long, 11 to 2 p.m., it originates from WAUK, but it plays out all across the Civic Media Network, except here in Madison. But we're changing all that. We're throwing you in a little bit later in the evening. But Kristen, welcome. Welcome to Madison. Welcome to my little world.
My hometown.
Now, which I thought you had multiple hometowns. You're claiming Rapids. You're claiming Madison.
No. So I was never raised in Rapids. Okay. My parents live in Rapids. That's when I first moved back to Wisconsin, where
Fine town. I was there earlier today.
It is a fine town. Hello to everyone in Wisconsin Rapids. But I grew up not far from here. I grew up in Madison, went to Madison West in Shorewood, right where we are by.
That's,
I wasn't in Shorewood, but a lot of my friends grew up in Shorewood. So I know University Avenue very well.
Yes, here in the world headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the fishbowl. Do you like it?
I like it.
You can feel the energy off the
construction.
Street. Wait till the ambulances start running to the hospital. I never really considered this proximity to the hospital on a major arterial. I get a little noisy occasionally.
We have the same thing. I'm not sure it's as busy as Wisconsin Avenue in Waukesha isn't as busy as University Avenue in Madison, but we get the occasional siren that you're like, well, I wonder if they can hear that on the other side.
Oh, yes, you can hear it. So anyways, we've got Kristen Bry from Asgos, Wisconsin. Once again, the expanded version, 11 to 2. It was 2 hours. Now it's 3 because she's that good, at least. And it plays out everywhere except Madison. But now we're going to start playing it in Madison. I'm not sure if that has already happened. Got to, ask the powers that be. But 10 o'clock in the evening, we're going to play Kristen Bry and Jane Mantenier, the Asgos, Wisconsin product. And it's damn good. You've gotten a lot of compliments so far.
Thank you.
People really like the show.
That's great to hear because we put a lot of work into the show. It's certainly a new muscle to go from making 60-second TikToks and videos, which is where I started Asgos, Wisconsin, to doing 3 hours of talk radio. But it's really fun. We are getting really great guests. We had Tammy Baldwin on yesterday. It was one of those moments where...
Baldwin.
Yeah, it was one of those moments where at the end of the day, my husband was like, you interviewed a senator today.
Yeah.
I was like, I you're right, I did. And so we've been really great. Like, we've had great guests so far. Jane's super fun. And I think it's been great because when I first started Asgos, Wisconsin as a concept, it certainly was always some politics.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as a lot of the people that we want to be more civically engaged and knowledgeable about politics, they don't want to listen to just politics. And so trying to do a well-rounded show that talks about the Bucks and the Packers and the Brewers and Badgers football, now that that's back, but also talks about the feel-good stories. And so trying to find the balance of a lot of different topics. And it's a good thing that I'm a fairly curious person. And so so there's a little bit of something for everyone.
You know, Kristen, I was concerned initially as you joined the civic media team. I'm like, well, she's done short content, but, a two-hour, a three-hour radio show, that takes certain skill set. Oh, no problems. You haven't issues, have you?
No, it's funny because there was a meme, I think, earlier this year floating around that was like, kids who are told you talk too much in class, what are you doing now? And I'm like, well, now I have a radio show. So it worked out well.
Kristen, let's jump into the big political headline. I know you and I often concentrate on what's happening in our state, the state of Wisconsin. This show plays out in a few more states. We're playing out in California right now. They'll join us in Minneapolis and also listening potentially at WCPT 820 AM in Chicago. But Kristen, the president of the United States saved the world today, or at least he saved the U.S. economy from crashing. A railway strike could have really been a disastrous thing, and certainly not a great thing, you know, 60 days or less from the midterms. And you know, Joe Biden would have been blamed for the problems and the inflation, any other bad stuff that stemmed from the strike. My understanding is they were in negotiations for some ungodly number of hours, almost a full 24 hours. And Biden was directly involved in these negotiations, and he brought these sides together. And I look at our Democratic governor here in the state of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, wading into the union conflict here at UW Hospital, the SEIU nurses. We love our nurses. But Evers got involved. And I thought
that's what I was just thinking. Well, I was like, wow, this is kind of mirroring in the same week.
You would never, to my opinion, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's been a long time since I saw effective governance from any Republican. But I cannot envision the Republican that's currently in the political scene, be it Ron Johnson, Ron DeSantis, who would be able to go in there and negotiate in good faith with both sides and bring labor and management together on these very important issues. Kudos to Tony Evers, the governor. Kudos to Joe Biden, the president, because what they've done is they've made sure vital services continue. And my boy, I was always a Bernie Sanders guy. I don't know if you know that about me. Bernie Sanders was not going to let the unions get run over. The Republicans, their proposition, their solution offered, well, let's just run roughshod over the union. Let's force feed them some sort of arbitration, whatever. Whatever we tell you to do, workers, that's what you got to do. Bernie said no. Bernie stood with the unions. I'm thinking, you know, you're going to be vilified for this, Bernie, when the strike happens, if this creates this huge ripple effect through the economy. But Kristen, I got to tell you, I'm proud of my president. I'm proud of Joe Biden, like I was proud of Tony Evers recently, for wading in and solving a big problem.
Well, it's great. It's also Amtrak Joe, right? He took the train from Delaware down to D.C. And that was his. That, how many times have we heard him talk about being on that train? So it's really in his wheelhouse to come and talk to the workers on the different trains.
I didn't even, Kristen, I gotta admit, I didn't even think about Amtrak Joe. Well played.
But yeah, you know, I think it's, you're right, as far as some of the Republican big names may have just tried to bulldoze over unions and vilify unions. I would say on our show, when we're having down ballot candidates come on who are running for state assembly or state senate, you know, it's refreshing to hear people who really have stories about working together and just trying to solve problems. And I feel like at the presidential level, hearing that story is we're actually solving a problem rather than playing politics, because this could have been so bad for so many people.
It's so bad.
But well, it's also, I would say, because I had two nurses who were part of the strike last week on the show before it got solved. And it sounded like it was good. The strike was going to happen. And it's not that it's the end of their rope, right? Of feeling like the UW system wouldn't come to the table. And it is drastic measures, because the situation itself that they feel as workers is drastic. It's not being dramatic and asking for too much. It's just, we need more help. But it was the same question I asked at the nursing level of, one of the reasons that you're striking is because of, you want to improve the quality of patient care, but how do you, Isn't that an oxymoron if you're going to strike, and who's going to be there to take care of patients? But as of right now, knock on wood, it looks like both strikes have been
crisis averted.
Yeah.
Well done, Democrats. Democrats delivering, you know, before an election. They don't usually do that, you know, so I'm feeling good about perhaps the state level politics in that Tony Evers is delivering and Joe Biden delivering. And we've got some sound from the president. Be patient. We'll play some of the Joe Biden sound. And as mentioned, we'll take your calls today as well at 844-967-2789. My special co-devil If you don't know her, you should. She's Kristen Bry. The product is Asgos Wisconsin. And if you're listening to us right now and you can't hear her, try the Civic Media app and listen to the Shaw Side channel, because she plays every day 11 to 2, and we appreciate you doing that. Polling out yesterday in the state of Wisconsin. Now, I feel good about where the Democrats, where their recent successes are leading both our state and our nation. But the polling's very distressing. The polling here in the state of Wisconsin, we had Charles Franklin on our little show yesterday.
Oh, great.
New Market polling out. Mandela is trailing Ron Johnson. Well, that's unexpected to me. Now,
Have you seen those ads, though?
They've been quite negative, haven't
they? They've been quite negative.
Charles mentioned the fact that 41% of people back in August when Mandela won the primary didn't have a strong opinion of him yet. Well, they're forming that opinion rapidly, right? Because he's being cast in I would say in racial terms, he's being transformed into a criminal right before our eyes visually sometimes. It's pretty harsh stuff. Obviously, it's having some impact, and that's got me nervous. I mean, if Ron Johnson is ahead at this point in the race, I really worry about the outcome. Because right now, based on the issues, based upon Ron's campaign, this guy should be trailing by 20.
Well, not only just his campaign, just the candidate that he is. I mean, he's wildly unpopular over the last 10-ish years that he's been, like, each year that he says more things that people are like, what? And I always compare him to someone that I'm like, does he just say some of this stuff just to see what he can get away with and still
sometimes
get reelected?
I think he does.
And I've had mixed opinions because Bill Glauber from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I had him on a couple weeks ago, and I asked him that because he's covering this race for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And he goes, he's just an opinionated guy. His analysis is that he's always been like this. He might be getting a little bit louder, but he says things as just like, what? Oshkosh doesn't need jobs? We should, you know, upend how we do Social Security and Medicare.
Oh, he always believed those things. I have no doubt.
Yeah. And so it is, I think for there, it's interesting to see the amount of people who don't like Ron Johnson. And yet because of the ads and because despite being the lieutenant governor, Mandela Barnes didn't have a lot of name recognition. And so, the ads are informing what they think.
Come back with us, Kristen Bry, co-devlin, all hour on the Devil's Advocates.
We've got to protect our phony baloney job, gentlemen. We must do something about this immediately.
1, 2,
that you wanna.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition, Friday Eve. I'll be absent tomorrow, kind of like my little buddy, except I'm not going to Europe, just Lake Geneva, just close. But a fine fill-in, better than us, James Santel, former U.S. attorney. He is the host of his own fine program on the Civic Media Network. Tune in Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 a.m., Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel. And tomorrow, he's going to do the legal analysis, the smartest of all the legal eagles, co-smartest with Maggie Dawn. But he will be here filling in for yours truly tomorrow, sneaking my wife away for the weekend. And today I got some help as well. Co-devil Kristen Bry from Asgos, Wisconsin, the midday host on WAUK 540 AM. Find her on the app, 11 to 2, Asgos, Wisconsin. Kristen, the state of Wisconsin, Asgos, Wisconsin, potentially goes to the U.S. Senate. And Ron Johnson is an unpopular incumbent. And you expressed an opinion. I don't know if you noticed when I know you helicoptered in right before the show.
I literally finished my show, got in the car, drove I-94, and got here at 4:01.
And you've got more events. Yeah. You've got more events tonight. Tell people where they could come see you tonight at the Capital Times event.
Yeah, so the Cap Times has their Idea Fest all week, and they are doing a social media panel at Leopold's Bookstore tonight. I think you might have to RSVP, so check out the Cap Times Idea Fest website to find out if that event is full. But Asgos Wisconsin started as a social media, really that was the only place it was, and so I certainly learned a lot about social media.
When you get up on the panel, say, anyone else have a radio show on this panel? Just me?
Well, I think I might be the only person on the panel who's a content creator first, that versus, I know the person who does social media for the Bucks is going to be there.
Okay.
Chelsea, who runs social media for Cap Times, will be there. And so it's, I mean, that's the power of social media, right? Is that there is lots of different ways to use it. It's one of those things where you can do anything, but you can't do everything. And so sometimes understanding strategy behind how to really leverage social media to use it in the best way for your business goals is take some input.
Yes. I kind of do Facebook. That's about it. I'm like an old dude in that regard. I've been doing Facebook since I've been doing a radio show. And there used to be tons of engagement on Facebook. The algorithm, something changed. Something changed. And doesn't matter how cool I am, what the super cool content is, it just doesn't travel on Facebook. And if it's not going to be widely disseminated like a radio show, then why waste my time? But I wish you well at the Big Idea Fest. Go see her, RSVP first. But again, she is a wanted person because she is a content provider. And, you know, those are the most important people in this world.
Those of us who really consider our opinions to be very important.
Like U.S. Senator Ron Johnson.
Yes.
My whole point with the helicopter and in the late arrival, I have a picture of me and Dominic and U.S. Senator Ron Johnson in the lobby in his senatorial office the day before Donald Trump got inaugurated. He squared us. He introduced us to tons of staff. He acted like he liked us. He took photos with us. He did a long form interview with us from the Senate Communications Room. And he gave us our senatorial tickets up front at the Trump inauguration. Although I'll readily admit, first raindrop, we walked out on Trump like 10 minutes into the inauguration. We could still hear him because, yeah, loudspeakers, but we beat the crowd to the bar, let's just say.
When's the last time Ron Johnson came on your show?
September of 2020.
Okay, so that's still fairly recently.
I remember it well because we were doing a carryover segment, and here in radio parlance, that just means there was a segment, we interviewed Ron, and he was scheduled to stay for like 5 more minutes, 8 more minutes, whatever, the next segment till the commercial. So during the commercial break, a Ron Johnson promo came on the Devil's Advocates. We still use them occasionally. And the issue was actually selling arms to the Yemenis. And Ron said, well, you know, we've got to sell arms to the Yemenis or the Saudis will sell them less efficient arms. And I said, yeah, but the blood would be on someone else's hands than Ron. And then we played Donald Trump from a rally in Wisconsin saying, I want to talk to you about that, Ron. And we thought it was clever and funny. Ron hung up at the end of that promo and never came on our show again. But when I see him in public, I did go chase him at a press conference earlier this spring. First and foremost, I walked into a building. I'm wearing a mask. Ron, of course, does not. Mm-hmm. I dropped the mask so he would recognize me. I've got the hat on, but you know, got to let him see the dimples. Oh, hey, Mike, how you doing? Walked up, shook my hand. He said, I thought you were a tracker there, you know, like a media tracker. Like, God. He's like, you're not here tracking me. I'm like, oh, no, you know, I RSVP'd Senator. So I go out to his press conference, and he had said something to the effect, like, society shouldn't care about other people's children.
I remember that.
And I went and chased him the next day because I had a follow-up question. I said, you know what, Ron, I was awarded the state of Wisconsin as a kid. Unfortunately, my parents weren't able to accommodate for my care until my adulthood. What about kids like me, Ron? Where do I fit into your scheme of it's the parents' responsibility? I said, without a social safety net, without foster care, without Pell Grants, I'd have been a kid in jail, in prison, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I was given opportunities because there was a social safety net, Ron. What about me? Well, he sort of half answered the question. Then he reinstated the fact that no, society is really not here to solve your problems. If you can't afford kids, don't have kids, is his sense. Understanding what his whole abortion policy, we'll talk about that, you know, because he's got a new stance on that as well. But his whole statement was effectively, no, that's not society's problem, excepting you don't foster kids. And then he started talking about something else. I think it was the Trump tax cuts. And I've had this conversation. He came down bragging. Hey, those tax cuts. I'm a designated S. He's a designated S. Richard Uihlein's a designated S, as is the widow Hendricks. Well, we all got tax cuts. I did it for us, Mike. Proud of it. Bragging about it. Has been ever since. He doubles down. To this day, he is proud of his position pushing through the tax cut for designated S, even though he got $21 million. All I got was a bump of the ribs from Ron Johnson over that. Come back, Kristen Bry, Ask Us Wisconsin. I'll let her talk in the next segment.
I've never really felt it was society's responsibility to take care of
people's children. What the hell does that mean?
Anyone? Anyone?
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday Eve edition. I got the finest of guests. She is Kristen Bry, the host of As Goes Wisconsin, right here on the Civic Media Network. And we'll be taking your calls. You can call us. You can join us, 844-967-2789. And we've got a new political proposition from Rojo, a abortion referendum. That ain't how we do it here in the state of Wisconsin, Rojo, but we'll get to that in a minute. Let's get to the phones right now. Eric from Milwaukee, say hi to my friend Kristen Bry.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, Eric.
Hi. One thing I want to, when I heard the polls, I was somewhat depressed.
Yesterday.
So then I contacted my son, who's very knowledgeable about a whole lot of things. He said, do you remember the polls that were saying that Hillary was going to beat the socks off of Trump?
Yes.
And then who won? Trump.
Trump won, yeah.
Yep. So what I'm saying to you is that my son said this to me, he said, I don't take much faith in polls.
Sure.
Yeah.
I tease, and we had a good guest, and he often comes around. He's shows a generous spirit in coming around on poll days. Charles Franklin, I often tease him, you oversampled Republicans, Charles. But if you look historically at how the races turn out, all the way back to Walker, all the way back to the recall, I think that's about the time they relaunched as a polling outfit, the Marquette University Law School poll. I believe that started with the recall. I think the only one he really missed was Hillary. And if you look at the circumstance of that time frame, and here in the state of Wisconsin, Eric, I was really surprised at the time we were on Heartless Radio doing our independent little show. And the day that Hillary called people a basket full of deplorables, I'm like, we don't have any Trump listeners. But if you were to listen, call me right now. I think you're deplorable. Not that anyone would listen to this fine show and vote for Trump. Eric, we had 2 hours of Trump callers. Love you guys voting for Trump. Voting for Trump.
Yeah.
And we had a producer on that show that used to tell us, hey, the pollsters called. I lied. Told them I'm voting for Hillary. I'm never voting for Hillary. They took glee in lying to the pollsters. My only fear is that's not a Democratic thing to do. That's, someone asked me a question, I'd give them a straight answer, Eric. It is Republicans that lie to the pollsters. They think they're being clever or schemey or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think they think they're putting one over on the pollsters. But if anything, if I was worried about the poll skewing, I'd worry that it undersampled Republican sentiment right now. And having said all that, a smarter guy than I looked at the crosstabs of yesterday's Marquette University Law School poll, looked at voters 18 to 29, in yesterday's poll that's got Ron Johnson ahead of Mandela by 1, has the 35-year-old Mandela Barnes trailing Ron Johnson by 20 points amongst voters under 30. Tell me that makes any sense at all, team.
I missed that part.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, so maybe they get it wrong sometimes, Eric. Appreciate you listening, and thanks for your contribution. 844-967-2789. Now, I took that from Jake Edwards, Jake in Madtown. Jake went into the poll and tweeted that at me. I didn't independently verify every crosstab, but he said, look at the 18 to 29s and look at the fact that Ron Johnson is sitting 60 to 40 amongst voters under 29, and you tell me that's an accurate sampling.
Did you ask Charles Franklin about that yesterday?
I didn't have time, man. He had lots of... No, it would have been a great question.
Because that is... I mean, because the truth is, polling isn't perfect. There,
true.
Especially as we... I did a video about this a couple years back, and the increasing struggle for polls is that less and less people are answering their phone because less and less people have a landline. I mean, I just today, I screen my calls all the time. If I don't have your number, I'm not picking up the call. And so if you can't get people live on the phone to answer questions, it already is, you can only, and self, you know, the, if you opt into polls, it already is kind of skewing the data.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's a snapshot of people's opinions. It is not a predictor.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a fortune teller.
Yeah.
It is based on the answers that we got and trying to right size them based on demographics. This mm-hmm. is the best picture we can give you. It is not perfect. Do not take this as the gospel, but use this information as you will. But that is feels wildly wrong as far as whatever under 30-year-olds they were talking to.
It does. It does. Can I tell you some skewed polling? I've made it a habit of going to the Iowa caucuses every 4 years. And we have taken it on the road and broadcast primarily from Dubuque, because that's the shortest trip. Just cross the river, go to Dubuque. You go to the college there, Dubuque College, whatever it's called. It's not called that. It's called something else. But anyways.
Is it Iowa State?
No, but the...
Is that in Des Moines?
Private college in Dubuque.
I don't know my
Iowa
schools very well. I'm going to be totally honest.
I've been in the field house every 4 years for their thing. And we had the Loras College polling guy, I believe it's Loras College, the on-campus political scientist, their Iowa poll, the day of the Iowa caucuses in 2016, they had Hillary Clinton up by 26.
Wow.
Bernie effectively won the, it was a push, I believe, through mathematical, Bernie won the Iowa caucuses. They were off by 26 points that day. So there are things like skewed polls. I would be very concerned if I was the Mandela Barnes campaign right now. Not that they should have been, you know, walking on air up 7, but we were discussing off air. Haven't seen a lot of Mandela in the press, but we've seen lots of negative anti-Mandela Barnes ads on the radio, on TV. They're everywhere. I mean, hell, they're playing on some of our civic media stations that we are only operating under contract right now because other owners accepted those ads. I don't control that. But where are the Mandela Barnes ads? That's what I'd like to know. Don't take this audience for granted. Mandela, don't take anything for granted. You better be out there talking to the audience, asking for people's votes.
I totally agree. I mean, I would say the ads I see the most of, and granted, I don't watch a lot of local, like the local news or whatever. But at this point, everyone's gotten savvy enough that every screen you have somewhere, you're going to come across a political ad when you're living in Wisconsin.
Digital.
Because it is such a close state. And so the ads I would say I see the most on when I'm watching Hulu or whatever is super negative Tim Michaels ads. So obviously of things saying Tim Michaels is too radical.
Yeah.
And then the very next one will be a really negative, if not outright deceitful, Mandela Barnes against Mandela Barnes. And it's interesting that whatever algorithm they're using to target my viewing habits, that I see those back to back, but I see a lot of anti Tim Michaels and I see a lot of anti Mandela Barnes across basically all of my screens.
I watch my live television primarily through Hulu now, and I've seen positive Mandela. I've seen some
Barnes
positive campaigns. I've seen anti Mandela campaign National Republican Senate Committee. That's I believe that's Rick Scott's outfit. And then I've seen Ron Johnson's ads, which when you talk about crime and sort of dog whistling, this whole racial animus towards Mandela, Ron's ads are almost worse than the NRSC's ads. I mean,
really
he
bad.
Is way worse. And then you see these occasional sepia-toned, Kodachromed video of Ron Johnson. I play guitar. I'm a good guy. I have kids. My daughter loves me. Well, I'm okay with all those ads. You know, all those, hey, here is who I am. I'm just like you, Wisconsin. Although I'm not just like Ron because I'm not super rich. And I actually believe women should have the right to choose autonomy over their own bodies. But the ads, yeah. When you go out state, it's worse. When you go listen to radio stations in northern Wisconsin, western Wisconsin, outstate Wisconsin, it's just Tim Michaels and Ron Johnson.
Oh, interesting.
There's no response from the Democrats that I hear, and I am driving these radio signals. That's all I've done all summer. I've been listening to them for months. I'll listen to 5 radio signals in every market I drive through, and all I hear is Michaels, Ron Johnson, and anti-Mandela. And it's not that that campaign doesn't have the resources to match. They're being quite short-sighted, my opinion.
In your opinion, so it's not on the different radio stations choosing only to play certain ads. It's that the media buy
cash and checks.
So the media buy from Tony Evers' campaign is just choosing not to spend.
If I own
a
rock and roll station in northern Wisconsin, I'm politically agnostic.
Yeah.
What color's your money? Well, the Republicans are spending tons of green, and that's not being answered. So I'm in the Madison media market. I can watch TV. I do because I like Colbert. He's funny. I watch him generally every night, although he's taken a lot of time off lately. But
it's the summer.
Coming out of the local news, I watch Channel 3, CBS here in Madison. Into Colbert, that spot break between the news and Colbert, it's nothing but political ads. I know it's hard to watch right-wing talk radio, nothing but anti-Mandela political ads. Left-wing talk radio, which I guess I know people perceive us to be, this civic media network we're building, even anti-Mandela ads are sneaking through on isolated stations that we don't own yet. And there are no positive Mandela Barnes messages that I'm hearing on any radio station in the state. Just few hints, Corey Keselowski. The value of radio is tremendous. 844-967-2789. Let's get to some fine Wisconsinites. They might have a say in this fall's election. Ron from Madison, you're next. Welcome, Ron. What do you got for us? Say hi to Kristen.
Hey, Mike. Hi, Kristen. How are you?
Great.
I like your show. I'm jumping back and forth between Devils and Waukesha to hear and listen to you.
Fun. Thank you. Nice to hear your voice.
You're exactly right. I'm wondering who's running media policy for the Democratic Party right now. Mandela Barnes needs to fire back, but instead of doing a negative commercial on Ron Johnson, he needs to talk policy.
Well, I'd love to talk to Mandela long form. And I told Mandela's team, and I'm not trash talking. I love Mandela Barnes. I would gladly and will vote for Mandela this fall. I think I've made that pretty clear even to Ron's face. I voted for Feingold. I told him I was voting for Feingold 6 years ago. So I have no qualms telling you where I stand. I love Mandela Barnes as a candidate. What I don't think Mandela is doing is A, using the platform that we would offer, because I can only speak to myself, Ron. But if he wants to come in and talk about his actual policies on crime, let's have that conversation in depth. Give you all the time you want, Ron. Pardon me, Mandela.
I think he's missing the boat by not doing that. But the way you get voters in Republican areas in this state, you don't talk candidates, you don't talk party, you talk policy.
Sure.
Totally.
I got people up in Minocqua to vote for Bernie because I could talk policy to them.
Yeah.
I swung them on policy.
Well, and appreciate your call, Ron. I think there are some things the Barnes campaign have done well. They did Barnes to Barnes, right? Something like that. He went out in rural Wisconsin. I think he has followed the blueprint to some degree that Tammy Baldwin
blazed. Well, you can see it even in the messaging of his campaign, right? Because I would say, I mean, in the time that I've been back, I moved back to Wisconsin in 2020, and during the wake of George Floyd's murder, Mandela was certainly on a lot of different press for MSNBC, CNN, talking about police, talking about Black Lives Mattering and all of that. And I would say the pivot to being more moderate, to being more about middle class economy, Not that he doesn't believe those things. I'm not saying, I think he's changed his messaging and how he wants to be seen in this campaign, which I think is smart. And I think that is a good, that it is a Tammy Baldwin, I'm here to work for you. I just had her on my show yesterday mentality, which I think does resonate in Wisconsin. And when you actually talk to people about what matters in their lives and show how you're going to work for them. And I think when you see what Ron Johnson has done for his rich buddies and himself, what has he done in two terms for the people of Wisconsin? What really has he done?
Well, that's arguable. Come back with us. We'll argue about it with you on the phones, perhaps 844-967-2789. More Devils with Kristen Bry.
We don't know who you are or where you're going.
This isn't very nice, isn't it?
I want you to be nice until it's time to not be nice.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. I got Kristen Bry co-deviling for just a bit longer. She's got big places, big stuff to do. The Cap Times Idea Fest, she's appearing a little bit later in the evening. So, you know, check their schedule and see if you can go see Kristen Bry in person. But while we got her here, we're going to take your phone calls at 844-967-2789. They're stacking up, Kristen. We're going to go right away to Wisco Paul. Wisco, say hi to Kristen Bry.
Hi, Kristen. Cody, I wish Medela Barnes would run ads on your station. You cover two-thirds of the state, and in my mind, it's...
Hey, man, we bought really another one today. Literally, we closed on Richland Center today. We're adding Amory, Wisconsin on Wednesday next. I mean, we're up to six markets and four or five more coming. You know,
well,
get on board. Kind of a good thing.
Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Cody. He needs to get on the air on your station ASAP. And I'll tell you this much, negative ads do work. I don't like them, but they work. And now that Johnson is, I don't know, 2 points up, because I trust the Marquette poll for the most part, you're going to see more of them. And you're going to see more money now that it's a close race and actually Johnson is up than you ever dreamed coming into the state. So, you know, it's a matter of we need the Senate seat. I don't know what to tell the Barnes campaign. I guess I'll have to figure it out. But I couldn't handle 6 more years of Johnson. But, you know. Well, anyway, have Christian on more. She's pretty cool. Thanks for
taking
my call.
Thank you, Paul.
She's on the radio every day. It's 3 hours.
I know.
Hours.
You could listen to my show from 11 to 2. I don't overlap with Crudy.
She gets more radio time than I do, Wisco. I'm not here to vilify the Mandela Barnes campaign. I think, Paul, the purpose of negative campaign ads is much to change your mind, because really most ads don't change your mind. Very few, you know, around the fringes, but they're trying to dampen the support. They're trying to make you say, "Ah, man, maybe I don't need to go run off to the polling place." They need to get out their base. And the base of the Democratic Party, the one that brings it home each and every time, Madison, Wisconsin, baby. And I don't, no offense to our friends in Waukesha and Milwaukee, but if Madison does not overvote, I mean, way outproduce, Democrats cannot win statewide elections in this state. I don't know if you noticed, but we do this little show in Madison called The Devil's Advocates. It's damn good, some say. 844-967-2789. Mark, you've been waiting longest. Say hi to Kristen Bry.
Hey, Kristen. I call your program occasionally and post on your page there.
Mark. Yeah, I totally know who you are.
Mark,
hi,
from
Mark.
The SAC. He's a dedicated listener.
Yeah. But, and it's just sad that Barnes hasn't gotten any more out there. I get disgusted with the all day.
I was talking to his campaign today. I'm just talking out of school, Mark. I should keep my mouth shut sometimes.
No, I get the ads from... just got one today from People for Prosperity, Americans for Prosperity. I put that one right into the shredder, and I tried to click on the column and say, take me off your list, you know, that I don't want to get any more from you guys. But
if you
couldn't get a number. Fake number.
If you get on the Trump text message list, all you have to do is text the vulgarity, the F word, back at them, F Trump, and they'll take you off the list.
Is this a tried and true method of
yours? It works. It works. Yeah, I guarantee it works, Mark. That's how I got off Trump's text message list.
And I'm tired of getting this stuff, you know, any mailings from these guys as well, that because it goes right into the shredder when I see, you know, Ron Johnson's face, that, you know, the White Walker Ron Johnson, that and it's you know, disappointing, but it's to be expected that they're running nothing but negative ads. I mean, that Ron Johnson wouldn't know the truth if I bit him on the ass.
Well, be careful. Winter might be coming, Ron. We got lots of people, Mark. Don't mean to cut you short. 844-967-2789. Joanne from Madison. Say hi to my friend, Kristen Bry.
Good afternoon and welcome. And here's a quick question. I hope you didn't cover this before, but Mandela Barnes did not appear at the Biden rally. And
I
there
know.
Are ways to recover.
What's that?
There are ways to recover here. He might, yeah.
Mandela,
how about the photos?
I'm not clear why he made a conscious choice, because he marched in the labor parade in Milwaukee. That was a conscious decision. Now, he might have thought his time more necessary, more vital out being at multiple labor events. If he'd have gone to the Biden event, you're pretty much in for the afternoon, right? If the president's there, you're waiting until Joe leaves. So that might have been a strategic decision, but I think the math far more likely, Joanne, is they chose not to have Mandela go up on stage with Biden, get photographed, because they know it would appear in the next Ron Johnson. He's a socialist, he's a Marxist, and he likes Joe Biden. You can't vote for the man. You know, it would have ended up in a negative ad.
Yeah, but can't we embrace this rising star called Joe Biden? The Joe-mentum is occurring now. I feel it. Okay, I hope that Joe-mentum is going to be continuing.
I agree with you, Joanne. He is on a roll, and the president of the United States, we'll talk about more in the happy hour, but the president, I mean, he solved a big crisis. He averted a big crisis in a union strike, a labor strike in the railroad industry that could have snarled the supply chain. So, yeah, Joe Biden ain't doing so bad. He's only negative 15 favorable, unfavorable here in the state of Wisconsin, and that seemed, well, negative 15, yeah, but Trump, negative 30. And they all embrace Trump still, don't they?
I don't know if they all.
Tim Michaels did. You know,
the politicians, yes.
Well, the Republicans, I mean, Donald Trump came to Waukesha on behalf of Tim Michaels. Now, talking about no loyalty, Ron DeSantis, who in all likelihood is going to run for president, mm-hmm. right? Just waiting for Trump to falter or get indicted. Well, DeSantis is coming to Green Bay on Sunday on behalf of Tim Michaels. Where's your loyalty at, Tim Michaels?
I know. It's funny because I'm going to the Packers-Bears game on Sunday in Green Bay. And I'm curious because a crisis was averted for my wedding day on August 20th because Trump was supposed to come to Milwaukee that day. And my mother was very upset as far as the chaos that would ensue as far as how many people would come to Milwaukee for that event. So when he was no longer there. It was very exciting. A little nervous. I don't know if my mom knows there's going to be a Ron DeSantis rally in Green Bay.
It's at the Radisson Convention.
It'll be interesting
Center.
To see what kind of turnout there is for that. If he can draw the same kind of crowds as his growing, I don't know what the Joe-mentum similarity would be for Ron, but it'll be interesting to see if Ron DeSantis can create a crowd. There will already be a crowd because it's a Packers game, but
with the labor participants at Labor Fest, Joe had over 10,000.
Yeah.
Donald Trump had maybe 3,500 in Waukesha. Now, I've seen much larger. I saw Donald Trump last October in Des Moines, Iowa. I would have estimated that crowd at 40,000.
Wow.
That was against a college football game just down the road in Des Moines. Iowa was playing Iowa State. Trump turned out 40,000 just down the road. I guess that would have been in Iowa City. Yeah, I was in Des Moines with Trump. That's Kristen Bry. She's got to run off to the Cap Times Ideas Fest. She hopefully saved a few good ideas for them. Appreciate the ones you shared here with my audience. Kristen Bry, Asgos, Wisconsin. A fine show each weekday, 11 to 2, everywhere on the network except here in Madison. Got to wait till late night. She's our late night act, 10 to like one.